recorded. We will have a question and answer session at the end, and for those of you here, I would like you to utilize the microphones on each side of the room so our online audience can hear the questions clearly. I'd also like to remind each of you to utilize the online evaluations that you can find online in each of the sessions. And now I'd like to introduce our speakers for the day. We have Brian Horn from Bowdoin College and Rebecca Sandlin, formerly of Bowdoin and now the CIO at Roanoke College.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to today's session, as well as everyone that's here in the audience, as well as those that are viewing us through the webcast. I would like to mention that the Twitter hashtag for this session is #E12_SESS097. Later on during the question and answer, that Twitter hashtag can be used by those that are watching the webcast in order to present questions to us. So the agenda for our quick meeting this morning is quick story of Bowdoin, followed by Roanoke's story, each one being about 15 minutes long, quick comparison and summary, and then at the end, question and answer. So quick update before we get started, as was previously mentioned. This presentation was originally presented to EDUCAUSE and accepted as a presentation of Bowdoin College's emergency notification system. Then someone got promoted. And congratulations, Rebecca.
Thank you.
So now what you'll get is the benefit of this presentation, including the knowledge and experience of two different institutions instead of the original presentation that was just going to be Bowdoin. So first, a little bit of Bowdoin, a little history of Bowdoin. Bowdoin is a private liberal arts college that was founded in 1794, and at that time was located in the state of Massachusetts. Today, the college is located in Brunswick, Maine, but this is not because the college was relocated. It's simply because when the college was founded in 1794, the state of Maine did not exist. Maine was only a district within the state of Massachusetts. Oops. Until 1820, when it became a state. I also want to point out that the seal of the college prominently features the rising sun. Consensus is that this was because at the time of its founding, Bowdoin was the first college in the United States to see the sunrise each day because of our northern New England location. Now moving into the modern era, Bowdoin has a student population of approximately 1,800 full-time residents, and our campus consists of over 100 buildings. We're fairly small in our geographic area, so we're both small campus in population as well as our footprint. So, a 10-second response, integrating your campus emergency communication system. What exactly does this mean? Today, there are three systems utilized at Bowdoin for both efficiency and redundancy. Cisco Call Manager is our IP phone system. This is the base system that allowed us to get to the point where we're at now. Our Cisco Convergence server, working in conjunction with the IP phone system, this allows for immediate notification within our campus. And then we use Blackboard Connect hosted service. Hosted service that should remain operational even as our current campus experiences an extended power outage or any other natural disaster that renders our local systems inoperable. So a technical overview of our telecommunication systems that we have at Bowdoin. We have a redundant telecom infrastructure. All critical telecom equipment is completely redundant and resides in two separate data centers on campus, each with complete UPS and generator backup. We have approximately 1,800 Cisco voice over IP speakerphones across campus, all utilizing PoE and having a minimum runtime of 60 minutes. We have 700 analog lines that are available through our Cisco Call Manager. These are to support fax modems, blue light phones, and most importantly, a minimum number of analog phones in all buildings on campus, including academic, administrative, and residential, to support extended power outages. We have an extended power outage and we exceed that 60-minute runtime for our voice over IP phones. Then we have analog phones in all the buildings that then can be used for life and safety purposes. Our active Cistera server sits in the same data center as our call manager, and Cistera's full redundancy is forthcoming in their next software release. Right now, we just have one active server running and a second standby ready if needed, but there's a manual cutover process, but that's going to be resolved in their next software release. So a technical overview of our emergency notification system. We use a multi-layered approach. Blackboard Connect is used for text messages, email notifications, and phone calls to individual cell phones as well as home phones. A couple of things to keep in mind regarding this method, though. Text messages are normally one of the most efficient and reliable methods of notification because of their delivery method and being very small bits of data. But there can be issues with this as well, as I'll mention later on. Some statistics that were provided by me by Blackboard Connect that were pretty compelling is that 99% of college students use mobile phones, and more than two-thirds of those are using smartphones. 95% of college students also send and receive text messages, as well as 73% of adults do. So email notifications are great as long as people are at their desk and have a smartphone and it's turned on. And lastly, cell phone calls. We have a cell phone tower that's pretty much right in the middle of our campus. And then there are one or two others that we're kind of like on the fringe of the service area for. But practically every time we do a Blackboard Connect test, I hear reports of people not receiving the phone call on their cell phone, but yet they get a voicemail message from the test. Blackboard Connect has so much capacity to deliver calls that because of the small geographic area of our campus, practically everyone's cell phone is registered to the same tower. When all of those calls come in at one time, the tower simply doesn't have the capacity to connect all of these calls. Instead, the cell carrier simply routes the excess calls straight to the voicemail of that cell phone. This is just another example of why it is so important to have multiple methods of notification. So emergency notification evolution, how we really got to the point we're at now. In 2006, we began using Blackboard Connect to call home phones, email, cell phones, as well as phones on campus. Campus phones notification, we quickly found, were dangerously slow. We were looking in excess of 40 minutes to complete all the calls when we did a test. So in 2007, 2008, we installed our Cisco Call Manager platform. With our old phone system, we had phones in all the residential living spaces. This allowed us to have the benefit of having speaker phones in all the resident spaces once we replaced the old phone system with our new Cisco Call Manager. And at the time that we did this, it was the largest IT project that we had ever undertaken at Bowdoin College. We literally did over a year of testing and planning with a lab IP phone system prior to beginning the actual conversion. The conversion took approximately 4 months with an average of 200 phones a week being deployed during the weeks that we were scheduled to actually cut over a department or a group. When we were running, the whole time we were running dual phone systems during the entire conversion, allowing for seamless calling between both phone systems. Now regarding the 911, servers and or services are required for E911 to work properly in an IP-based phone system. Depending upon the system being implemented and the specific environment and the configuration that it is being implemented in, it is critical that you take this into account when you implement this new phone system. So in the fall of 2009, we began to incorporate text alerting using Blackboard Connect services as well. Initially, we had some concerns about whether or not people might be upset about receiving texts and the cost that may be associated with it. That was a while ago. Things have changed. We've not heard any complaints about that whatsoever. Continuing on in 2010, we implemented Cistera's call and radio recording. This replaced an aging system with significant limitations that had been used with our previous traditional PBX. The system was so old it was actually using an OS2 operating system. It couldn't record speakerphone conversations that were going on. And during our product selection process, Cistera was the only product that we found that would meet all of our requirements. One of those requirements being no or very limited spanning of data ports to accomplish IP phone recording. The Cisco phones use a built-in bridge technology that makes it possible not to have to span all of those ports. This was a primary concern of our Director of Networking and Telecommunications because it's a major security threat in order to span all those data ports, especially in an environment where you have thousands and thousands of data ports across campus. The radio traffic recording and the ability to do ad hoc recording for malicious or harassing calls were also two of our requirements. The radio, two-way radio traffic recording was one of the things that we found was very limited as far as what vendors were offering, and at the time, Sestera was the key player that was able to do everything. So then in the fall of 2011, we incorporated rapid broadcasts. It's a service that was already available on our Sestera server, but we licensed it and then activated it and made it possible to start using. This dramatically reduced the amount of time to complete a notification. We immediately went from greater than 40 minutes to complete all calls through Blackboard Connect to less than 7 minutes and reduced our on-campus notification time to less than 10 seconds. This is primarily because we took all those campus phone numbers out of Blackboard Connect, and we use Blackboard Connect now exclusively to call cell phones and home phones. So the next steps that we're planning to do, we're going to be incorporating a zone controller. This will allow us to start incorporating existing PA systems into the rapid broadcast system. We will also be able to add outdoor speakers to cover large populated areas, such as a main quad, if the college ever determines that they want to do that. So keep in mind that emergency notification methods are constantly being revised, updated, and most importantly, improved. As technology continues to progress, systems and procedures must be reviewed and reevaluated to be certain that your process is as efficient as possible. Most importantly, redundancy. You can never rely on a single system to be 100% reliable and available. A quick screenshot of our most recent Blackboard Connect test. Within there, it shows that we sent our tests via phone calls, text messages, and emails. We use the phone numbers that the faculty and staff and students have listed as their emergency contact information, but we exclude all the campus numbers from that. Now that we have eliminated all those campus cell phones, the first attempt for all voice calls completed in 6 minutes. So now I've spoken a lot about the system that turns all of our IP phones into a public address system. I thought that it was about time to actually show you that in operation. Besides, our director of security has a perfect voice for this kind of thing. Get it? I'm not getting the audio through. In any case, he has a very authoritative voice, so it would have been great if you could have heard it, but in any case, we'll move right along. So this screenshot shows the test results from the previous test, which we conducted this past January. As you can see, the report shows that the test was an informative message, which does not interrupt those 25 people who are on active phone calls. It also shows the duration of the test was 38 seconds to send an audio message that was about 33 to 34 seconds in length. The 42 phones that show as out of service are most likely phones that were unplugged. The phones still reside in the phone system. They're just not operational, so the message can't be delivered to them. Here I have another video. I was going to show the simplicity of activating the system. I can show the video so you can see how easy it is to go through the menus and actually activate the system. Of course, we won't hear the audio again. That's okay. As far as activating the system, you can do it through the services menu on the Cisco IP phones as demonstrated here by Randy, or you can also do it by dialing in through a remote number. Any other phone, including cell phones, can be used to activate the system by dialing a specific extension on campus or a DID from off campus, entering a multi-digit PIN number and specifying the group name for the message to be sent to. The necessity to know these three different pieces of information in order to successfully activate the system provides a level of security that we are comfortable with. With Sestera Rapid Broadcast Message, even people who are on phone calls will hear the message as long as the message is sent as an emergency message and not as an informative one. The difference is that emergency messages play during an active phone call, but only the campus individuals will hear the message. For calls that are connected to people off campus, the person at the far end of the call will not be able to hear the message as it is being played. On the other hand, if the message is an informative message, it will not play at all on the phones that are on active calls. So, Hurricane Sandy, pretty recent in everyone's mind. Even though it made landfall over 300 miles away from our campus, you should never underestimate the potential impact that a natural disaster can have on your campus. Text messages that were sent by our Blackboard Connect service within 1 minute were still being delivered, sometimes in triplicate and duplicate, 36 hours after being sent. Phone calls were completed successfully within 2 minutes, but ultimately, when there are factors in an emergency that are completely out of your control, i.e. having to rely on service providers, you must rely on multiple layers of notification in order to ensure that your message gets through. So you can see that until we got to the point of having multiple systems and multiple methods of notifications, we couldn't reach what we considered an appropriate amount of time for an emergency message delivery across all platforms. And sometimes events are even closer. I'll turn it over to Rebecca.
This is a picture that was taken during July. There were severe thunderstorms, wind, and rain around the 4th of July near Roanoke College. It also affected several other colleges in that area. There was extensive power outages, flooding, property damage, and many fallen branches and trees, and there were a small number of fatalities as well. And this is a picture of Roanoke College, very beautiful, just like the college I previously worked at up in Maine. I'm going to talk a little bit about the budgeting of the emergency response system for Bowdoin. That was one of the roles that I had. So before we go from New England to the Blue Ridge Mountains, I'll explain how Bowdoin was able to fund their evolution to an integrated emergency response system with an overwhelmed IT budget, already obligated safety and security department budget, along with the economic problems of the past several years. Blackboard Connect, which was formerly ConnectEd, for those of you who don't know, this product was developed in direct response during the aftermath of an actual higher ed emergency of the suicide bomber death and attempted stadium bombing at the University of Oklahoma in October of 2005. The emergency notification software was already being discussed at Bowdoin before the spring of 2007, In 2006, the fall of 2006, it was purely an IT decision to get a software package that we could use to address emergency issues. After 2007, there became a lot of stakeholders, a lot of people who were interested in emergency solutions, mainly campus safety, dean of student affairs, and the campus emergency response team. The pricing of ConnectEd, now Blackboard Connect, was very affordable, and we were able to find money from the operating budget and find a little bit of money from somewhere else. And even though it wasn't budgeted, we were able to purchase it. So Cisco Call Manager, we made sure that was included in the VoIP project budget as a requirement. It actually was a requirement not for an emergency system at that time, but because admissions wanted it so that they could have a managed call-in system. We also used it for our help desk as well. So in 2008, we added the texting component. And so for the same reasons that Brian said earlier, that we didn't have to pay any extra money to get the texting feature. It was a great way to notify more people in the community, and people were not going to be complaining about the cost of text. And planning 2 years ahead, the Emergency Communications Center call and radio recording system was approved as part of the college's capital technology budget. It was not approved the first year, because we already had a solution, even though, as Brian said, it was very old, OS2, we didn't have much confidence in it. But the second year, it was actually starting to fail, and so then it was approved in the budget. But what was nice about the two-year thing is by the time it was approved in the budget, the people on campus understood what we were trying to do. So the next year when we got Cisterra's rapid broadcast system, this was also submitted as a budget item for 2 years. And the first year, it was not approved, it was not a high enough priority, and it enabled us to already have prepared the leadership of the college so that they understood that we were putting in basically an intercom system that could send alerts all over campus. And so by the time this was approved the second year, everybody understood what the product was for and what we were doing, so that made it easier to implement the solution. I've been the CIO at Roanoke College for 3 months now, and I was very curious about whether their emergency response solution would be different from Bowdoin College's, because they're located about a half hour from Virginia Tech. One difference was that their emergency response solutions were all purchased shortly after April of 2007, which is when the Virginia Tech incident occurred. Their Cisco VoIP system was installed the same time as Bowdoin's in 2007, and they had the same plan as Bowdoin did, to utilize a Cisco call manager as an emergency intercom system. Both colleges realized early on that the classrooms and meeting rooms were the most vulnerable areas on campus, because students and employees tend to turn off their technology, and Cisco VoIP phones were installed in all of these places. At Roanoke, it's a requirement with every renovation project, and you always install a Cisco VoIP phone in public areas. Roanoke uses a text-to-VoIP phone screen feature from InformaCast that Bowdoin has not yet deployed with the rapid broadcast system. And what that does is, it's a text, and you see it on your phone screen, and it stays there until you press, I think it's end or exit, to get out of it. So going to Roanoke College made me realize that Brian was an integral part of Bowdoin's integrated system. He has backed himself up in case he is unavailable with coworkers. There are actually about three coworkers who have the various systems down. But on an ongoing basis, Brian was able to see and analyze the result of emergency tests of all the emergency systems at the college in order to see how they complement each other and how the taking best advantage of all of the tools. They provide essential redundancy and reach the largest number of people in the shortest time period. To improve response notification reliability and time, Brian knows that at Bowdoin, a large percentage of the community will know about an emergency within 10 seconds of the notification. And he has the expertise and the analytics that enabled him to make this happen. So I'm at Roanoke, we're going to be working on the same thing, making sure there's one person who really understands how all of the products work. So InformaCast is what Roanoke uses instead of rapid broadcast. Bowdoin actually looked at this product over 5 years ago, and at the time it was more expensive than the solution that Bowdoin ended up with, and they seem to have similar capabilities. Except at Bowdoin, the call recording feature that we've talked about was one of Bowdoin's priorities at the time. In fairness, these products have been going down in price, and Bowdoin never asked for a second quote from for Informacast 3 years later when we actually purchased it. My impression is that both products are reliable and you should make your decision based on your own institutional requirements. And here are some future initiatives at Roanoke, which I thought were interesting, connecting the student union and athletic facilities and the blue phones. And here's the Roanoke's Director of Campus Safety, Tom Turner. And I did make a video of him, but because Brian already had a video of the Director of Security at Bowdoin, and Tom was saying pretty much word for word the same message, which was kind of funny to both of us, I decided not to use a video for him, but just a picture of him doing his emergency recording. And really the only difference between the two was that you could tell Tom's from Virginia and you could tell that Randy's from Maine. And one of Tom's visions is to have a recording system. So he was very interested in what we did at Bowdoin. And he said that funding has not really been available for that. And I told him, well, that's something you and I can work on. We were finally successful, you know, working together, campus safety and IT, in achieving that at Bowdoin. So I also told him about more flexible, affordable solutions like Sestera that we'd used at Bowdoin. Tom has a lot of ideas on how to improve our emergency response system, and I'm really looking forward to partnering with him. E2 Campus is the solution that Roanoke uses, functions very, very much similarly to to Blackboard Connect. I've not really done any kind of real true comparison, so I don't know, you know, which features are one is lacking or one has over the other. I do know that in terms of the people side of it, everyone says that at Roanoke, E2 Campus has been one of the great collaborations between the PR department, campus safety, and IT. Gene Zdarsky is the Dean of Student Affairs at Roanoke. And an organizational difference between Bowdoin and Roanoke makes it a lot easier for IT to work on these kinds of initiatives because the Director of Campus Safety reports to the Dean of Student Affairs. And at Bowdoin, that was a little bit different. There was actually the Director of Security reported to Finance and Administration. So it was always there were always more divisions that had to be involved early on these kinds of decisions. It's been easier so far to talk about emergency response technology solutions. Of course, communications and PR are always going to be part of these discussions, and they're usually in another division, but that's sort of the same at most schools. So it was definitely the same at Bowdoin and Roanoke. Gene is very comfortable with technology, and he was part of the leadership of the aftermath of the Texas A&M bonfire accident, and he puts a very high priority on emergency preparedness, and he's, I think, just like with Tom Turner, I think he and I are going to have a great partnership and we'll be able to accomplish both the Dean of Student Affairs and the Director of Campus Safety's visions. So here are some of the decisions that need to be made on every campus about policies, testing, and training. The major decisions are who can send messages, how can you use the system for non-emergencies, and how often do you test? Too often makes people ignore the messages is at least what we're thinking on both campuses, and not enough doesn't make people familiar enough with the tool. For tests, certainly let everyone know there's going to be a test, of course. Bowdoin with Blackboard Connect is about testing, they're testing once a semester, and they're testing rapid broadcast once a year. And Roanoke tests E2 Campus and Informacast both once a semester. Bowdoin and Roanoke will be looking at upgrading our emergency response systems in the following ways. Roanoke is working on a recording solution, and looking at whether an outside, maybe a different, this is for the announcement system to connect other parts of the campus to our multicast system, and I showed you that earlier. And Bowdoin is looking at texting to VoIP phones and also incorporating zone controllers into Sestera for the public address systems on campus. And so it was good to think about what we could learn from each other. Bowdoin can learn from Roanoke texting to the VoIP phones, and also some kind of a cooperation between with the city or town, which is something that Roanoke's been working on. So they're thinking there's some kind of overlap with certain types of emergencies. And so we've been meeting with the proper IT people and director of communications with the city of Salem, which is where Roanoke College is located. And Roanoke can learn from Bowdoin about should we integrate our recording system, just as they have, and also, actually that was, we already talked about everything else. And here's some ideas that we had about the future of emergency response systems. We have a new digital signage project underway at Roanoke College, and emergency notification is a requirement of that project. Here are some related topics that we try to stay away from because it's scope creep, because this was only a 45-minute presentation. And this is a statement that we came up with that's supposed to sound a little bit profound so that at the end of this presentation, no one will walk away thinking that either college had a five-year master plan, because neither college did. It was a journey for both colleges to get to where we are now, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is this on?
Okay.
I have a question from an online audience. You may have already addressed this, but what is the purpose of the call and radio recording, and what kinds of calls and radio traffic are recorded?
Yeah, Brian.
At Bowdoin, we record all calls that go in and out of our security department's communication center, as well as all the two-way radio traffic between the security officers, all of our facilities management people. It's very handy to have this. For one, if they need to do some type of investigation, particularly for calls that are coming into our communication center, but also as a tool to review after an emergency. You can always go back and review all of those recordings and see if there's some other way that the situation could have been addressed more readily, and just streamline your responses.
I believe you mentioned that all students have to enter emergency phone numbers. Is that mandatory? And if it is, how do you enforce that? For example, do you put holds on their accounts or something like that?
At Roanoke and at Bowdoin, we don't really enforce it, other than we highly publicize every semester that it's time to update your information. And at Bowdoin, actually, if students don't go into the record at all, then they actually do get, the Dean of Student Affairs does take some kind of action. Mitch? No, we don't really, other than the fact that we really encourage people to update their information right now, it's much more of an opt-in. But I think they've been talking about changing it for a while now, so I'm hoping that will...
You know what percentage of students opt-in?
We, I know how many people have opted in at Roanoke, but I don't know. Is there a standard out there of, at Roanoke College, I do know. It's probably about, at this point, we're about 75%. And then, of course, some of our other systems, they may get students some other, with one of our other systems, because we have everybody's, phone in there and things like that, so. Any other questions?
Two questions, I guess. One is, you had mentioned about Sandy. It was a good example of a concern about hosted solutions where essentially you have multiple campuses that are customers of any solution, not just the one you have, and the impact a regional disaster has on that particular service. And then the other question would be, you had mentioned also about admissions was interested in a part of it. Can you expand on that?
Oh, for, wait a sec.
Well, first I can address the Hurricane Sandy thing. The hosted provider delivered all of their messages immediately. I mean, the delays and the repeated messages was truly a factor of the fact that the entire East Coast got hit with this storm and all of the systems were just overwhelmed. Blackboard Connect system performed flawlessly, so the hosted solution is great in that environment. My point was, you just can't always rely on it, even though it's a great system and it's got to go through service providers, which may be experiencing other situations. The admission situation is different.
I'm not sure exactly what you were asking.
Brian, you mentioned something in the selection of one of the projects calling.
Oh, yes, yeah. They actually do, what is with Call Manager, they have a way to set up, what is it called? I can't think of what they call it. This is through Cisco VoIP system, and then you can set up all these call trees and...
We set up small call centers for them from time to time as well.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly, yeah. And so that had been a requirement right from the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. No, but not to do with emergencies. Yeah, I understand.
Yes. Yeah, nice job. I'm interested more in some of the policy issue as far as guidelines regarding when you use it. And do you do an all clear after an incident? I'm just in the Northeast, and we had Sandy, so we had to we issued an emergency notice, and then we issued a closure. But we're trying to understand if we don't want people getting used to seeing it all the time and then just ignoring it. So I wasn't sure if you had specific guidelines talking about when and when not to use it.
Well, at Bowdoin, it's a very organic process. I mean, every time we go through a situation, we're constantly reviewing it and determining if there was things that we could have done better. For instance, in this past situation with Hurricane Sandy, where people were getting text messages a day after the fact, we quickly determined that the message that goes out through that text needs to include the date and time that it's sent, so that if this does happen again, then we realize that, okay, it's not the same power outage happening again. It's a fault of the system that's delivering the messages. Did that address your question?
Well, also I have a little bit more. I agree with Brian that it really is sort of this evolution, and you sort of learn from things that happen, and each time you have some new ideas, but also Each emergency is different. One of the things I think is really good that Bowdoin College did was that they started using Blackboard Connect. They started using that for power outages, even some power outages that were lasting a few hours.
Right.
And they also limited, obviously, the amount of people that it was sent out to. They didn't send it to parents or... I think they had special lists for power outages. And what I liked about that is it was some of the same people that were using the tools to send messages. And so we knew that other than the two tests, they were actually using the tool. And I think that helped. And did you have a question?
One question I have an answer is
Before we started using these tools, there's an emergency action committee. The emergency action committee got together. We created policy around how these tools would be used. And our concern was also that some of the emergency ones would be used too much, you know, snow days and stuff like that, and they wouldn't have the impact. So yeah, the emergency one where we actually use the phone is strictly emergencies, nothing else. And then the other ones are used depending on the rated level of emergency. I'm the CIO, by the way, for Bogan.
So
thank
Mitch,
you.
Mitch, you're saying that the intercom, they've decided not to use the intercom system for anything but real emergencies. But
right.
then the phone, the calling, texting, outsourced product they use for a few other things.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.